to Train Your Pegasus, Chapter 8. The dragon word for the maneuver Snowbolt had discovered was almost unpronounceable by a pony tongue. Snowbolt dubbed the technique wump crumping, so named for the sounds made as she crossed between the air masses. From what Scarlet had told her, dragons only used the maneuver during migrations, and only in a wave pattern. For all Snowbolt knew, she was the first Pegasus to ever use the technique, and the only one being ever to do it repeatedly in a loop for the exclusive purpose of gaining speed. After that first day, Snowbolt practiced the technique exclusively whenever she was able. She only reverted to the other, less exhausting maneuvers when her aching wings could bear no more. Gliding at such high speeds while maintaining turning authority proved to be the most strenuous activity Snowbolt had yet experienced, even more strenuous than flying under her own power. This went on for several weeks more, and each day Snowbolt felt herself growing stronger and stronger. Each day she was able to complete more and more loops in succession, achieving higher and higher speeds each time. Her flight muscles ached constantly, but she didn't care. After seeing how hard Snowbolt was pushing herself, Scarlet had warned her. "Don't fly too hard, Pot Pie. You'll hurt yourself and make your meat all chewy." Snowbolt had rejected Scarlet's advice completely, of course. Speed was Snowbolt's addiction, and nothing else mattered. After Scarlet went to bed each night, Snowbolt would also spend an hour or so every night practicing powered flight. As her wings grew stronger, Snowbolt found that she was able to maintain a hover under her own power for longer and longer periods, and at higher and higher altitudes each day. After a few more weeks, Snowbolt was able to fly around the cave as if she had been doing it all her life. Snowbolt was now a fully flighted Pegasus pony. Just a few months ago, Snowbolt would have regarded this as an unbelievable, incomprehensible achievement. But now that she had done it, she did not celebrate it at all. For one thing, Snowbolt wanted to hide the fact that she could now fly under her own power from Scarlet, lest the Dragoness suddenly decide that her meat was now fit for eating. The second reason was that Snowbolt now had her eye on a different prize. Ever since she had first discovered wump crumping, Snowbolt could sense an invisible something as she flew, always just out of reach. She would not have been able to describe it to any pony if she tried. Whatever it was always driving her to fly faster, always faster. She felt closest to it when she was flying her fastest in the lower arc of a wump crumping loop. But no matter how close she got, it was always just out of reach. It both beckoned her and taunted her, but no matter what Snowbolt tried, she could not grasp it. Just as she could sense her prize just out of hoof's reach, she could also feel a barrier keeping her from it. Her flight muscles always seemed to give out just when she was about to fight her way through, refusing to hold her wings outstretched for even a single second longer. Snowbolt was still resigned to the fact that she would eventually be eaten by Scarlet, but more than anything, she wanted to achieve her goal, whatever it was, before she died. 3 weeks had passed since Snowbolt had first discovered wump crumping, but Snowbolt and Cheeky were taking a respite from their breakneck maneuvers and enjoying a friendly game of tag. They were unperturbed by the dark clouds that slowly moved in from the west, eventually darkening the entire sky, nor by the thunder and lightning that flashed from them. By mid-afternoon, however, large hailstones began to fall, and the two were forced to take shelter in the cave. "You're not bringing that flying rat in here," Scarlet said darkly. eyeing Cheeky with scorn.
Oh, but it's awful out, Scarlet. We can't send her out in this weather. She'll be no trouble at all, I promise. You won't even know she's here.
Scarlet eyed Pony and Squirrel for a long moment, then groaned. Oh, all right. But if I find any acorn shells or any other sort of mess on my cave floor, I'll roast you on a spit and use your friend there as a garnish.
Thanks, Scarlet,
Snowbolt said, resuming her trot into the cave. Cheeky simply stood staring up at the dragon, looking absolutely aghast at what she had said. Turning back, Snowbolt scooped up the squirrel with one hoof.
Oh, don't mind her. She's always saying stuff like that.
Scarlet and Snowbolt had an early dinner that night, and Snowbolt fed Cheeky a few nibbles from her own meal. After dinner was cleaned up, Snowbolt read to Scarlet from her perch atop the dragon's hoard of gems and gold, as was their evening custom. Cheeky made herself a little nest in Snowbolt's mane and listened contentedly as Snowbolt read more of the adventures of Dusty Cornshucker. Snowbolt stopped reading when she heard a low guttural snoring coming from Scarlet and a gentle high-pitched one coming from Cheeky. Being careful not to disturb the little squirrel, Snowbolt slid down the pile of gems, put the book in its place on the bookshelf, and lay down next to the fire. Cheeky woke up just long enough to sleepily crawl down from Snowbolt's head and onto her back, where she curled up and immediately went to sleep. Snowbolt smiled at her sleepy little friend before letting out a yawn herself. She lay her head down in her hooves and almost immediately fell asleep to the sound of thunder and wind howling outside the cave. Scarlet was already bustling around the cave by the time Snowbolt awoke the next morning, humming to herself as she fussed about her kitchen. From the gap left by the cave wall where the boulder did not fit flush, Snowbolt could hear the storm still raging outside. Snowbolt lifted her head from her hooves and stared at the gap. She could sense that something was different today, but she did not yet know what. Still curled up on Snowbolt's back, Cheeky was awakened by Snowbolt's stirring. The little squirrel yawned and stretched lazily, giving Snowbolt a sleepy wave as she rubbed her eyes.
Hey, little friend.
Snowbolt offered a small smile, then turned back to look at the gap in the cave's door. Cheeky followed Snowbolt's gaze, then turned back to Snowbolt with a quizzical look.
I'm not sure,
said Snowbolt, answering Cheeky's unspoken question. She gently placed the little squirrel down on the cave floor, then stood up and walked over to the gap. Peering outside, Snowbolt could see snow was still falling heavily, and her view was intermittently obscured by clouds that raced up the mountain slope. The wind was positively howling, and another crash of thunder shook the very walls of the cave around her. Thunder snow. Snowbolt had read about it at school, but had never experienced it herself. She knew it was a rare phenomenon, especially around pony cities, where weather was carefully monitored and controlled by Pegasi. In a sudden epiphany, Snowbolt saw what it was she had to do.
Scarlet, will you open the door for me, please?
Scarlet turned from her kitchen and looked over at the little pony as if she were crazy. In this weather, what on Equus for, Pot Pie?
I'd like to practice my soaring.
Soaring? In the middle of a snowstorm? Pot Pie, you can't be serious. Scarlet chuckled and returned to her fussing, but when she looked back, Snowbolt was still staring at her. You're serious? Snowbolt nodded. Scarlet shook her head and walked over to the mouth of the cave. Well, I suppose if you smash yourself to bits on the rocks, you'll save me the trouble of having to mench you. Scarlet rolled the boulder aside, and immediately a gale of wind whipped through the gap, nearly blowing Snowbolt off her feet. After you, Pot Pie, Scarlet said, bowing sarcastically. This I have to see. Snowbolt ignored her sarcasm and pushed her way through the wind, and out onto the ledge. Cheeky looked at her friend curiously, but followed her outside. The wind that blew from the west was positively frigid, much stronger than anything Snowbolt had flown in before. It whipped up snow from the lower reaches of the mountain and carried it across the shelf. The dark thunderclouds overhead were shedding wet, mushy snow at a frightening rate. Lightning flashed somewhere in the clouds overhead, and the crack of thunder that followed was only a split second behind.
"Are you sure about this, Pot Pie?" Scarlet asked.
Her sarcasm seemed to have been replaced by genuine concern, something Snowbolt had never seen from her. Snowbolt looked at her briefly, then looked back up at the sky. She was sure. She didn't know how or why, but she knew absolutely that this was something she had to do, and she was not afraid. She looked back at the dragoness and nodded. Snowbolt felt a tug on her ankle and looked down to see Cheeky with a grave look on her face. She regarded Snowbolt for a long moment, then scurried up Snowbolt's leg and took her place on her head. Snowbolt shook her head and put the little squirrel back on the ground.
"No, not this time, little friend."
Snowbolt looked again at the sky.
I think this is something I have to do alone."
Even as she said the words, Snowbolt did not know how or why she knew.
"Stay here. I'll be back in a little while."
Cheeky still looked concerned, but did not protest. She offered Snowbolt a brave little smile, then made two signs with her paws. "Good luck." Snowbolt returned her smile, then turned and began walking towards the ledge, struggling to push her way through the wind and snow. When she reached the brink, she took a long look around, surveying the mountain, the storm, and the dark clouds above.
"I sure hope I know what I'm doing,"
she thought to herself. She spread her wings experimentally and was immediately carried backwards by the strong wind, tumbling head over heels.
"Whoa!"
she cried. She landed roughly in the snow, slowly coming to a stop on her back. She righted herself and looked back to see that Scarlet was laughing at her, though she could not actually hear the sound over the wind. Beside the dragon, Cheeky was looking more concerned than ever. Snowbolt stood, shook the snow from her coat, and approached the ledge again. She took just a moment to compose herself, then galloped towards the ledge as fast as her crippled legs would allow. She leapt off the ledge and let herself sink for just a moment before she unfolded her wings. The gale force winds caught her like a sail, and Snowbolt found herself rocketed upwards and backwards. In just a few seconds, the ledge, Scarlet, and Cheeky were just distant specks far below her. Then they were lost completely in the swirling snow. A few seconds more, and Snowbolt found she had crested the top of the mountain. She came to a hover about 300 feet above the mountain's peak, where the lift generated by the wind striking the slope began to fall off. To maintain a hover in the face of the wind's extreme speed, Snowbolt found that she actually had to assume a downwards posture that would have meant a steep dive in stiller air. Even then, she was only just able to penetrate the wind, and she knew that if the wind picked up any more, she would find herself tossed behind the mountain. At best, that would mean a few hours' walk back to the cave. Lightning flashed from above her, and Snowbolt knew she could not dawdle any more. She banked to the south, glided just a short distance, then turned low and left behind the ridgeline. Her wings shuddered as she passed into the lee of the slope. Snowbolt dropped and accelerated downwards past the tree where she and Cheeky had first met, then back up again. As she flew back towards the ridgeline, she could see the snow being blown off the mountain's crest like a long mane blowing in a breeze. As she splashed through a spray of snow, her wings shuddered again, and she accelerated upwards with a speed she would not have dreamed possible.
"Wow,"
Snowbolt said. The wind's power was like nothing she had experienced before. She made a few quick adjustments in her head. She shifted her loop slightly lower down the back of the mountain so that she could come back up into the wind at a shallower angle. She continued her turn down behind the mountain a second time and began her third loop. As she passed over the ridgeline the fourth time, Snowball could feel it. The intangible, invisible thing that taunted her, that tormented her, beckoned her even farther, even faster. It was there. Snowball was closer to it than she had ever been before. It was just ahead of her now. And this time, she knew she was going to get it. Two loops more, Snowboat tried to estimate how fast she was going. 200 miles per hour now? 3? 4? Snowboat knew she should be freezing from the cold and high wind, but for some reason she did not feel the ice's sting. Her wings hissed and sizzled as they sliced through the frigid air like a knife through rice paper. The snow was falling harder now, reducing her visibility to almost nothing. Snowball panicked for a second until she realized she did not need her sight. She knew this mountain and its air currents like the back of her hoof, and in her mind's eye, she could see its every detail in perfect clarity. She could have performed the maneuver with her eyes closed with perfect safety, and for several revolutions, she did just that. The thing was getting closer, but the barrier that separated her from it was pushing back with all its strength. Snowball pursued it with all the fearsome determination and patience of a hunter stalking her prey. She knew it would not escape her, not this time. The wind was too powerful, and the sheer layer was too thin, and her wings were too strong. Though Snowball had not known it before, she realized now that her entire life had been leading up to this moment, and she knew she would not fail. She chanced a brief glance behind her. Her wings were screaming through the air like a banshee. They drew sharp contrails through the air, and in her wake was left a conspicuous vacuum of snow. The thing was just ahead of her now, seemingly just in hoof's reach, and she could feel the barrier begin to give way. A strange crackle of electricity or magic began to build around her hooves and wings, and then, just like that, she was through. She felt the invisible barrier explode, and Snowboat knew she had done it. There was a sound like thunder, louder than anything Snowboat had ever heard before, followed by a crystalline ringing sound like a spoon striking a goblet. Then Snowboat heard nothing. She felt herself accelerate upwards to an impossible speed. A few seconds later, she was blinded by an impossibly bright light coming from directly in front of her. It took Snowboat's eyes a few long seconds to adjust to the bright light, and when they did, she realized that the light ahead of her was none other than the bright mid-morning sun shining down on her from an infinite blue sky.
"What happened to the clouds?"
she thought to herself. She looked around to orient herself, and she saw the dark thunderclouds slowly rolling away from her in all directions, and the snow had stopped completely. Looking down, she realized that she was also impossibly high above the mountain. In fact, she was still climbing, gliding at a speed that should have been impossible. She barely felt any drag on her wings at all. It was as if the normal laws of lift and drag had been temporarily suspended. Snowbolt had never felt so happy. What she was feeling was pure, unadulterated joy. In that moment, Snowbolt realized what it was she had been pursuing all these weeks. It was purpose, her purpose. She knew now she had been born to fly. She had been meant to fly, and always had been.
"Woohoo!"
Snowbolt whooped loud and long, pumping her hoof in the air. She looped over and over again, her eyes watering from the wind, and still her wings felt no drag. Her mind idly marveled at this new state of flight, and she laughingly wondered if she could even slow herself if she wanted to. After brief consideration, she decided it would be perfectly all right if she never slowed down and lived the rest of her life at this speed. Eventually, she did slow. And when her speed dropped below a certain threshold, the normal laws of flight she was familiar with took over again. She was still flying impossibly fast, so she began to descend back down to her mountain home below, where Scarlet and Cheeky would be waiting. The mountain, which dominated over the surrounding valley, seemed like only a tiny pinpoint from this altitude. She began her descent, slaloming like a skier to scrub off speed as she did so. It took her a full 15 minutes to descend back down to the mountain. Scarlet and Cheeky were right where Snowbolt had left them, standing near the mouth of the cave. But instead of standing in the middle of a blizzard, the two were now standing in the bright mid-morning sun. The thunderclouds that had previously covered the landscape in every direction were now nothing more than dark spots far off on the horizon. Big, hoof-sized snowflakes were still falling from a cloudless sky. Scarlet and Cheeky did not move as Snowbolt landed. They just stared at her with their jaws agape. Snowbolt casually folded her wings and brushed a bit of snow from her shoulder, but could not hide her grin.
So, Scarlet, I suppose a maneuver like that would be child's play to a dragon.
Pot pie. Scarlet's voice was soft and contained not a hint of derision or sarcasm. I don't think anyone ever, pony or dragon, has flown like that before. Snowbolt beamed with pride. Suddenly, Cheeky gasped and began gesturing frantically at something behind Snowbolt.
What is it, Cheeky?
Snowbolt asked. Oh, Scarlet said solemnly, apparently having spotted the same thing. Pot Pie, you have what do you ponies call it? A rump stamp? Snowbolt cocked her head in confusion.
What?
It's Scarlet snapped her fingers a few times, searching for the right term. A pretty spot. Snowbolt turned to look over the valley, trying to see what the dragon was talking about.
What?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Pot Pie, look at your backside.
Snowbolt turned her head and finally saw what the two were talking about. Adorned on her flank was an emblem. It was an indigo snowflake, truncated and styled into the shape of a lightning bolt. It was a cutie mark. It was her cutie mark. Snowbolt suddenly gasped, her eyes growing wide. She looked at the dragon and squirrel, then back to her flank, then back again.
It's a cutie mark! It's my cutie mark! It's my cutie mark! Woohoo!
Snowbolt pranced around in the snow, whooping and dancing around, then took to the sky, looping over and over again.
Cutie mark! Cutie mark! Cutie mark!
She chanted, zooming all around the ledge, a literal whirlwind of celebration. Cheeky looked happy for her friend, but seemed confused by this over-the-top show of jubilation. Scarlet simply remained still, watching incredulously. After a few moments, Scarlet leaned over to Cheeky and said, in a low voice,
"These ponies get excited over the most peculiar things, don't you think?"
Cheeky nodded, without taking her eyes off the prancing Pegasus.
"Best day ever!"
Snowbolt shouted.